Okay, after a long while of trying to get this thing set up, we're finally going to do it for the first time, okay? Okay, so my name is Paul. I am 13 years old, and today is December 5th, 2018. And I'm speaking with Laura Osborne, who is my grandma. And we are recording this in Mesa, Arizona. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Laura Flack Osborne, and I'm Paul's grandmother. I'm the mother of his mother. A maternal grandmother, I guess. So Paul's going to ask me some questions, and I'm going to try to satisfy his interview.
Okay. Okay. So first off, what was your childhood like growing up? What was it like?
Well, I was born right after the World War II, and so we were very poor. Our rent on our house was $25 a month. Groceries were, I would go to the store with my mom and we'd get 6 or 7 bags of groceries for $10. So everything was cheap, but it was all relative. You know, today's dollar is not what yesterday's dollar was. I always wore skirts. My grandmother made most of my clothes. We had a car that was used, and today people, you know, race them or they make a hot rods out of them, and they show them. If I had the car that we had when I was a child, it would be worth about $100,000 today.
Wow.
I lived through a flood. I've lived through tornadoes. I've lived through many moves. I was 16 when John F. Kennedy was killed. Mm. But growing up, again, we were very poor. We had neighborhood grocery stores where you go in and get penny candy, and everything was wood floors and glass countertops, and everything was bought, you know, in bulk and so forth. And most everything was made from scratch. The first McDonald's was when I was about 12. Mm. And at that time, they would keep posting how many hamburgers they sold, and it'd be up like 1 million and 2 million. And it was a walk-up at the time. Mm. So things have changed. Fast food has become a lot different. We didn't have fast food back when I was a child.
Okay, so you mentioned about JFK and how he was killed.
Yes.
Do you remember, like, Malcolm X or Martin Luther King Jr.?
I remember, of course. That was a huge turning point for the country.
Mm-hmm.
He had everybody going in the right direction, and then he was assassinated.
Yeah.
So who knows? If JFK had lived, things would have been a lot different, and Martin Luther King as well. But at least Martin Luther King got the ball rolling, and it kept going in that direction for the black people and just for integration alone. So.
Yeah, so you grew up in Iowa, right?
Or? I was born in Iowa. I grew up, I did grow up in Iowa, Council Bluffs.
Okay. And so is there anything in your childhood that you remember that it could only be, like, you are the only person that could have experienced it?
Oh, gosh.
Like, nobody else could have known what you, or saw what you've seen, or heard what you heard, or anything.
That's pretty difficult. No, I can't think of anything that would have been privy to meet me, like, see a spaceship or something like
that.
Yeah. No, nothing that I can recall.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about my mom. So you're my mom's mom, and so you obviously know, like, how she was when she was growing up. And, of course, her story will be different than your story. But I want to get your story because you're the mother. What was she like when she grew up?
She was always a self-starter. Hmm. She was innovative. I always put dresses on her, and so she couldn't crawl because her knees would catch in her dress. So she learned to tiptoe across the floor rather than crawl. So she was very, you know, creative. She could do a lot of things. She was a very sweet girl, very smart, just, you know, very happy most of the time, just a normal little girl. But she's very bright. I remember her being very smart.
Okay. Is there any, like, moments in your life that really touched you and they make you who you are? Like, is there any moments, like, in specific that you would say that changed your life or anything?
Well, one major thing that, in fact, had to do with your mother, was in a major car accident.
Yeah.
And I was 2 months pregnant with her. Didn't even know I was pregnant with her.
Hmm.
That was probably an eye-opener because no one thought I would keep the baby.
Hmm.
And she was a month premature, but she was perfectly healthy and fine. So that was probably an eye-opener for me to really appreciate life and the things I have because I could have lost her easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think moving from my hometown to Council Bluffs when I was four, I barely remember it, but it was before school, before I started school. And I think that was pretty important because it took me away from my grandparents that I was very close to.
Mm-hmm.
So I could only see them when I'd go visit. And then, of course, having two children, that's extremely life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thrown into parenthood with really no experience at it at all.
Okay.
But other than that, no, I can't think of anything.
Okay, so you moved when you were four. Did you move to Nebraska?
No. I moved from Jefferson, Iowa to Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Okay.
That's where I grew up. When I went to college, I went to Omaha.
Okay.
And that's where I met my husband, had my kids, and I raised them.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there until I retired when I was 65.
Okay, so you mentioned about you were very close with your grandparents
mm-hmm.
when you moved. And so do you remember anything, like what they were like, or any, like, stories that you would like to share about them?
They were from a farming community. They were probably some of the wealthiest people in town.
Hmm.
My grandfather owned 16 different properties and apartment buildings and farms.
Wow.
And so we all should have been very wealthy, but there was a lot of stuff in the family that happened that squandered it away and so forth. But I remember they were the first ones to get a color TV in town. They lived in a town of about 7,000 people, Jefferson. Hmm. That's where I was born.
Yeah.
I remember specifically spending most of my summers after the age of 7 with them. And I had my paternal grandmother there, too, who I spent a lot of time with her as well.
Okay.
But my mom's grandparents were probably more like my parents. They were more, I was closer to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to the fair, and whenever we would leave, I would mow the lawn, and my grandpa would give me 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we leave, I'd ask my grandma for a little souvenir, and she'd dig at the bottom of her purse. And we used to walk uptown every morning, you know, at summertime. Very fun childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
They were part of the richest families in Jefferson, although they lived very meagerly. They didn't live in big fancy mansions and houses. But my grandfather drove a pink Cadillac.
Hmm.
It was a 1959. And we would take it, and we would go out and look at all of his crops, and he would check, and the crops were very different back then. He used to say knee-high by the 4th of July. Well, by the 4th of July now, it's practically tasseling, you know, so it's quite different than it was. But all of his farms were in that rich, black Iowa soil that, you know, there's only one other area in the whole world like it is in India. So.
Okay. So let's go on to the next question. What was the worst thing you remember my mom doing when she was a child? I have lots of stories that she told me.
Lots that she told me?
Yeah, like when she met my dad, and they stayed up until like 3 in the morning, and she didn't have her keys to get in the house, so they just went back to the party, and she got grounded the day after when you got back.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
Was she living with me then?
Yeah, she was living with you,
okay.
And she left her keys inside the house,
oh.
And she couldn't get them, so they went back to the party with
She thought that was a bad thing?
Mm-hmm. And then she got grounded.
Okay, she got grounded.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is there anything that you remember her doing?
No, I remember one scary moment was that I got up or something, and she had gotten into the triamcinolone. Triminic, which was, you know, a children's, like a cough thing or whatever, and it was laying out on the counter, and she had crawled up there on a chair, and there was a spoon, and I could tell by the amount that was left and how much was out on the table that she couldn't have eaten very much.
Mm-hmm.
But that was scary. That was probably the worst thing that she did. She ran out in the street one time, and I had to, you know, paddle her pretty bad because I said, you won't be here if you run out in the street. So, I don't know, I guess just, you know, I mean, as a teenager, she did typical teenage things. She, I take her and her friends to a nightclub, and of course they didn't wear makeup, but as soon as they got there, they would all go in the bathroom and they put this really heavy makeup on, and then when it was over, then they would take it all off before they came home. So,
Okay. Let's see this. So tell me a little bit about your parents, because I know about your grandparents and about my mom, but I want to know about your parents. Like, what were they like?
Well, they, of course, came through the Depression, and so they had quite a different life than I did, because I was a post-war baby, and I was raised in the very prosperous years. They were in the Depression years. My dad was a very, very hardworking man. He worked for Major Appliances and sold Zenith products for most of his life. They both moved to Omaha when I was a girl. My mom had been in real estate. She was a very hard worker, very self-sufficient, very independent, and she was, you know, a very pretty woman. And but I remember her being very hardworking, and she took, you know, raised us girls. My parents divorced when I was three. But I had them both in my life, so I would, you know, my father would get me. But he picked me up after school, and you know, in high school, and then I'd spend the afternoon with him, or I'd go to their house, him and his wife's house, on the weekends and so forth. But they were just very hardworking, very thrifty people, because of being raised in the Depression, they appreciated everything that they had.
Yeah. Okay, so now we talked a little bit about my mom, but what about Grant, like? What do you remember about your son, Grant, that it's like, what do you remember about him that he did when he was a little boy, like bad, good?
Oh, there were several things he did. I caught him playing with matches one time.
Ooh.
And it was in not a field, but a hill right next door, and it was kind of grassy there. And so I took him to the fire department, and I, you know, had the fire department, the fireman explained to him why it was important. Well, first of all, I took his hand and I acted like I was going to burn him. And it probably was the wrong thing to do, but it got the point across, because I said, here, I want you to feel how warm this flame is. And if you burn yourself, then we saw a movie not long after that, where a little boy started a fire in his garage, and he was burned over 85% of his, he looked like a burnt wiener. Yeah. And they showed him in an ICU, and he had all these bandages and gauze. And his hands, just like you know what a burnt wiener looks like, where that skin ripples and it gets black. That's what his skin looked like, and that was a real eye opener for him. He rode a mini bike one time, and the gas stuck on it. And he came flying around the hill into the street, and across the yard, and then he dumped. And we thought, oh, geez, you know, good thing there wasn't like a bus coming or something. And probably one of the things I remember the most about your mom and him, he crawled in her crib one night. He cut her hair.
Ooh.
She had this long, beautiful, golden hair. And I came in there, and he had cut about a 6 or 7 inch swatch of her hair. So it forced me to have her hair cut.
Oh, yeah.
But they were normal kids. They didn't fight tooth and nail, but they still had, you know, their sibling rivalry and stuff. So
what in your life has really been like, you, like, would have changed, or you would have looked back and you would have done something differently?
Oh, dear. That's hard to say. To be honest with you, I probably would have not gotten a divorce.
Okay.
So I would have made it work, because it was so much harder.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find that fit for your children with another man. And so it always is the smarter move, I think. I was too immature. But the smarter move would have been to try to stay and make things simpler for myself. I probably would have done that. I probably would have tried to make things simpler for myself and gone that route, you know. So I would have gotten a better education. I would have stayed in college, and I would have gotten a college education so that I could have at least used it to get a better paying job.
Okay. Is there anything that, so this interview goes to Library of Congress, and you get, as long as digital forms of audio are available, this will be in there. Is there any, so you lived on the earth for how many years now?
71 and a half.
So is there anything that you want to tell other people, like advice or anything that you know now that you want to tell them so they don't make the same mistake, or just give them a heads up?
As far as being successful, or
yeah,
as far
just,
as
just
I would make sure that the most important thing is raising my children properly.
Okay.
That's the most important thing that you can do, providing for them, because they can't provide for themselves. And you get them to a point where they're self-sufficient, that's quite different, but it's important to maintain that relationship even after they're grown. And that usually happens, not always, but usually it happens. I would say just try to practice kindness wherever you can, to be unselfish, give when you can, you know, to the unfortunate, but don't be foolish and, you know, give
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yeah.
So I would raise my children. I did send them to Sunday school, but I would have been more involved in a church setting with them, along with them, rather than just them having Sunday school. Much like what, you know, you're very involved with your parents and your religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what is going to keep your family together, above all.
Okay.
That's what this country was based on. And if people can get back to that, you know, then I think we stand a better chance of continuing on as America should carry on, and not turn socialistic or you know, go away from the fact that God does rule. So,
mm-hmm. Is there, like, anything that you've seen or any experiences that you've had that you want other people to do as well? Like, have you been to anywhere and you want other people to go there because it was just amazing?
I've only been out of the United States at one place, and that was the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, but it's not that far away. I haven't been overseas. I haven't been to any other countries. Canada, except for Canada.
Yeah.
There's so much to see in the United States.
Yeah, that's right.
That I think that, you know, you would never, even the state of Arizona, it would be a lifetime of just exploring every corner of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything outstanding that right now, it doesn't come to me, but I think one of my fondest memories was spending some time in San Francisco with my dad independently from my mother when
mm-hmm.
they were older. And my sister was born there during the war. And so we did a revisit when she was 50. And I guess going to a place that has meaning to you and revisiting it as often as possible is going to, you know, be my suggestion.
Okay. So you've lived in three places. You've lived in Nebraska, you've lived in Arizona, you've lived in Iowa. Is there any more places that you live?
No.
Okay, so which out of those three do you think that you like the most?
Arizona.
You like Arizona?
Oh, I love Arizona.
Okay.
And yeah.
You've only been here for how many years now?
I miss the things about the Midwest, like this change of the seasons.
Yeah.
But I hate winter.
Mm-hmm. You and my mom both.
It especially got worse as I got older.
Hmm.
And having to drive in it to go to and from work was my bugaboo.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just sit in the house and watch it snow and not have to go anywhere, it wouldn't have been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cold. I can still remember my hands being numb, my feet being numb, shoveling snow, not being able to get out, not being able to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And here, you don't have that problem. So I would say Arizona by far. Arizona to me is alive. I lived in Omaha. Was never impressed with Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other people argue with me. They say they think it's a great place to grow as a family. It probably is. And I did.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just, it's, you know, it's a unilateral. It's backwoodsy. It's very, I don't know what the word is. They're about 2 years behind every place else, you know. Being in the Midwest, it comes from the West and the East, and then it finally hits the Midwest. In fads, all kinds of things. So
you said Arizona was life. I've only lived in Arizona for almost 7 years now. It will be seven in this December.
That's hard to believe.
I turned 14. But how long have you lived here? Versus how long you've lived
six
in
six and a half.
Okay, 6.5 years. And how
no,
long?
Actually six. I moved here 6 years ago
in
October.
Yeah.
I moved here in October, the same year you moved here in March.
Okay, so Is there a, how long did you live in Omaha?
Well, 65 minus, let's see, since I was, let's say since I was 18 or 19.
Wow, so like, you just think like Arizona with the 6.5 years that you've been here is just better than all of those years in Nebraska, like combined.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, because there, again, there's just, I never grew up being attached to a pro football team or a pro baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing was Kansas City, you know, and you had to drive 3.5 hours to be involved if you wanted to be involved in it. Nebraska Cornhusker football was the only thing Nebraska had going for it.
Yep, that's
it.
Exactly
is. Their girls volleyball is very big, but it's only like a tenth compared to the following that the football has. So it was the only thing that you could lob onto, so to speak, to be proud of. When I came to Arizona, the first time I was here, when your mom lived here 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was just so impressed with, you know, all of the stores having, you know, major baseball, Diamondbacks, all this stuff, you know, memorabilia and clothing and stuff. In their town, they have these teams. And it's just one thing I thought was really cool. It just seemed like it was so alive. Kansas City was a lot more alive than Omaha. There's so many more things to do, places to see, things, you know, just places to go and do. So it just seemed to me that the major cities are more alive. And I love Arizona because of the diversity
mm-hmm.
in the terrain. You have the mountains, you have the desert. You know, I love it all.
So you would say that, so I know some people, they think of Arizona or the Sonoran Desert, and they just think that it's just desert in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I've lived over a little longer than you have, but it's definitely is alive. It's not all desert. And when it is desert, it's not like desert.
Well, it still has a life of its own.
Yeah.
Even the desert. I mean, it has, it's completely different here than it is, say, up in Sholo, up in the mountains.
Yeah.
5,000 to 7,000 feet up in the mountain, is everything's different.
Yeah, I would agree with you about the diversity, because you can go to Flagstaff and ski mm-hmm. and, like, in Colorado.
Yeah.
But in Colorado, you can't go down to Yuma where it's 120 degrees down there.
Yeah.
And
well,
so it's very...
In 2.5-3 hours, you're out of the heat.
Yeah. And so Arizona is a very weird state.
Well, because of the elevation differences.
Yeah, it's very different compared mm-hmm. to other states, where it's either you only have one climate or you have mm-hmm. a bad climate.
Well, Colorado, you have mostly mountain stuff.
Yeah.
They have a little bit that's, you know, lower in elevation, but not much, because when you leave Nebraska, it's a constant upward elevation, so they really don't even have what Nebraska has. But anyway, you don't go too far before you start hitting the Rocky Mountains, and that's about all Colorado is the Rocky Mountains.
Okay, so this is the Grand Canyon. Say, have you been to the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
Okay, so what was it like for you? I've only went one time, and I only got to see it I didn't actually get to go into it, because that's what I wanted to do, because I'm like, I wanted to like
trail,
get into it and like go down in the canyon, but I just saw it, and I was just like, I could just be looking at a painting right now. But what was it, what did it mean to you to see the seven?
I felt very small.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so vast and so overwhelming to just think of the majesty and how many years it took to make that canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen? I mean, the Colorado River is just like a little tiny thing now.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when it, if it's going to dry up someday, or... I know that it's regulated now because of the, you know, the dams and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it takes so long for that to do that. We'll never see it in our lifetime, that change. But when you imagine, what is it, 7 miles across from the south to the north?
I think so, yeah.
Something like, maybe it's more than that, I don't know. I probably got the figure wrong. But when you think, that was all full of water at one time.
Yeah.
It's an amazing concept. We were there when your brother was... 5.5 or whatever, we went up it the night before, it spent the night, and then we got up in the dark and went to the Grand Canyon, and they were still on the ground because it was cold.
Yeah.
And we went out on a little railing part where they, you know, they have an exhibition, and we watched the sun come up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, really awesome because of the shadows, the changing of the colors, and that was just, it was really awesome. We attempted to go down a trail, but it was too icy, and we didn't want to take the chance. It was Angel, what is it, Angel Pass, or what is it, Angel? It's the popular one, but we decided not to go.
Okay, so you like cars, and you like to, so you like, you have hobbies, obviously, because everybody has hobbies, but like, I'm trying to think how to word this. What draws you to the hobbies that you like to do? Like, what?
I have a creative side.
Yeah.
So, artistic side, which isn't, you know, it isn't professional artistic side, but it's more of, you know, just amateur. But I, you know, I like to do different different things. In the past, I've bowled in a league for 30-some years. I've done hobbies of all different kinds. I crochet, I knit, I paint. And now with my friend, he has a bunch of classic cars, and some of them are quite expensive, and we go to shows, and you know, I've learned that world by just being with him, and it's fun and exciting. It's a very expensive world, but that's a hobby that is, they don't belong to me, but I get to enjoy them.
Yeah,
and then we do trips, you know, and we do hiking, and we take the Jeep on the trails, and just stuff like that. To me, that, you know, just enjoying the country and enjoying, you know, the beauty and the just sunsets, sunrises, mountains, whatever.
So when you became a mother, what was it like for you when you finally had the baby in your arms, and like what was going through your mind at that point?
That it wasn't real yet. That it was like, really, this is my baby?
Yeah.
Things were quite different back then. It was before Lamaze, which is, you have a baby natural and you get to watch it born and it's right there in your arms. Most of the time, women were put out. They were put to sleep and then they saw the baby after they woke up. That's how I had mine.
Okay.
But when I first held like Grant, it was like, it's kind of an indescribable feeling to know that you're now responsible for this little helpless baby. No matter what it does, you're responsible for it, and you have to take care of it, nurture it, and let it grow and protect it. And again, I was ill-equipped for that. I was very young. I was only 20, and I had really no parenting experience. So, and with your mom, she was, you know, I had experience by then, 2.5 years later, and she was so tiny. She only weighed 5 pounds, so she was in the preemie nursery for 2 weeks, and I would hold her, and she didn't know how to suck the nipple, so I had to force her to do it, and I had to learn how to do that before I could take her home. It's an amazing feeling to know that is part of you. I think especially for a woman, because it comes out of a woman's body, and you experience that, where a man, you can experience the experience, but you can't experience the actual feeling of it happening.
So, is there anybody that you, like, you didn't know personally, like, that affected you and influenced you and, like, made you change? Or, like, you mentioned JFK, but, like, if anybody, like, that you didn't know personally that affected you and, you know, just kind of...
Could it be a teacher, you mean?
Well, yeah, just, like, anybody that you know personally, that you didn't know personally, that you would like to be,
that
like...
I know personally or didn't know
Yeah,
personally.
Just, like, and just anybody. In general, that you would like to be like, or you would like to be more like?
Well, I went through a counseling session when I was a little younger, and probably that person just was more like my guardian angel, and had qualities and traits and tools that I wanted. I wanted life tools that he had, and so he more or less taught me those tools. And I had to relearn how to deal, you know, with myself personally in the world with new tools, because the old tools were not working. So I would say probably him had a big influence on my life, life-changing. I don't know. I can't think of anybody else out of hand.
So I know that there was a lot of wars between World War II
and World War, I mean, and now, so like Vietnam War and
Korean War.
Mm-hmm. How did they affect you, like, personally? Like, did you support the war effort, or did you?
I was in high school when the Vietnam War. I didn't know about the Korean War. I was too young. My dad, of course, you know, was in World War II.
So he did.
But he was stateside. He was not deported.
Oh, so he was on. He was in the. He was National Guard.
He was in the Coast Guard.
Oh, Coast Guard. Okay. Yeah.
And he was responsible for checking people in and out of the port when they came into San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my sister was born there. What was the question? I got off.
How did they affect you? Like,
oh, the wars?
Yes.
Well, Vietnam. I went to school with a lot of young boys that went off to the war and were killed. At that time, that I was in school, they had a draft system. Mm-hmm. Where you're A1, you were going no matter what. But if you were going to go to college or if you had a family, you dropped to like an F4. So my husband, your grandfather,
mm-hmm.
Had the status of an F4. He was not only going to college, but he had a family.
Mm-hmm.
So he was exempt. He also had flat feet. A lot of times he wouldn't take you if you had
a physical ailment
or whatever.
They couldn't.
Or yeah, you know, just there were specific things. But most of all, if you were healthy and you were drafted. And a lot of those boys didn't live past probably the first fight they were in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to the different Vietnam
memorials
and things, and they have books there, and they have charts, and they have like mini walls, mm-hmm. and I'll find their names on there and just read a little bit about their past and everything. And some of them I went to grade school with. So
mm-hmm.
Probably the biggest, was the living through that, all of the support, but also so many people against the war, against Vietnam. All of that time was a lot of turmoil with people mm-hmm. trying to, you know, and I think that those who had to go, they were never recognized that they went and served. It really wasn't even a war. It was a police action. And so it was never recognized as a war. Even they call it Vietnam War, it wasn't. And so they never got recognition when they came back. They just this last year, had a big parade for whoever wanted to be, you know, all the Vietnam vets. And all of them are all in their 70s now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 75 and 70 and a little younger and so forth, that a lot of them have been disabled their whole lives. I mean, they've really have not had the treatment they should have gotten. But I guess just growing up from high school or, you know, late junior high even, when it really started, I experienced just people knowing people that actually went to war.
Okay. So I saw this question a couple of days ago, and it was, we're in the 21st century. Is there anything that you, when you were younger, thought that we would have today? Like, is there anything that you thought that we would have definitely, and it was no doubt?
I wish. I wish, because I'd be really wealthy today.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You mean like when I was a child or just anything?
Anything, because is there anything that you saw back then that you were like, man, there's going to be a new invention or something will be upgraded that it will be like this?
Well, but I didn't think of it, but like the Flash Gordon, the space thing. I figured someday that really probably would happen because mm-hmm. I remember that everybody talking about it, that it took a lot of money to do the research to get it going. So I was in the eighth grade, I think, when that all really got started. But I always thought that the space age would probably be something that would grow and get big.
Okay, so I know this is going to be a very hard question, and it's not very easily like said or like answered, but what is your favorite thing, place, or person in the world?
Oh.
It's like the big one.
My favorite?
Just like favorite place. It could be a place. It could be a person. It could be a thing. It can just be anything.
Just being with my family.
Yeah. Just like, okay. It's just like interacting with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want a hug? We like to do stuff with you, too. That's what we like to do the most.
Sorry.
It's okay. It can get emotional sometimes. Do you want me to go get a tissue? Just like being involved with your family, is that what?
Yeah, any time I can spend with my daughter and her family and my son and his family,
mm-hmm.
those are my favorite times.
Okay. Do you have any like outstanding things that you like remember interacting with them? Like you just love doing something with them or?
Just when they're together, my daughter and son, uh-huh. together, I love watching them interact and knowing that they're carrying on their lives as I did,
uh-huh.
raising their family, and as it should be, and just, it's been a lifetime pleasure to watch my children interact with theirs and how they've grown and how they've been responsible, and that, and it's that simple. It's just the most important thing to me.
Okay, so is there anything that you would like to tell the people that could be listening to your voice later, that what they should do with their lives or what they should, what you want them to remember you as or think of you as, like?
I always consider myself very spunky,
mm-hmm.
outspoken,
yeah.
Self-independent, happy, fun-loving,
mm-hmm.
Family-loving, just, you know, to keep that in mind, that if the most important thing is to be true to yourself and to live with what your heart tells you to do, and because if you go against that, you're going to know it.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that what your answer?
Yeah, just like... I'm trying to think what other questions. Is there any questions that you want to ask me? Let's do that for the time remaining. Is there anything that you want to ask me that you don't already know?
I guess just what, do you have a goal for what you want to be at this point or what you want to study?
Well, I mean, it's changed a lot over the years with me.
Well, it will change too.
Yeah.
But right now, are you, when I was your age, I wanted to be a veterinarian, which didn't work, but.
I feel like, well, it's kind of weird because what you want to do and what you know that you will probably end up doing are like two different things. But
besides gaming, what are your interests?
I really love just like when I went to Ecuador, it was just really just cool because I don't know, I would like to go to other places, because when I went to Ecuador and I learned Spanish and I spoke Spanish there, it was just a different culture, and I was just like to go and
experience
the different cultures. And because I just told myself, if I want superpower, it would be to know everything in the universe, because with that you would learn, you would live forever, because you're
even Einstein is bright as he was and brilliant. He says, "If the more you learn, the more you realize there is to learn. So you can never learn it all."
Yeah.
So as brilliant and bright as he was, I mean, I know what you're saying, but that would be, and we only use 10% of our brain. Wouldn't it be nice if maybe that was one thing I'd like to see in the future, is that somehow science can help us tap into using more of our brain than just about 10%. I think that may be something of the future.
Mm-hmm. I think that what I want to be when I grow up, man, I want to do something with my religion, obviously, because that's like a big part of my life. Like maybe be a pioneer or go to Bethel or just something along those lines, or be a missionary. So a missionary is a pioneer that goes to other lands and preaches. So I could see myself doing that in Ecuador, maybe. And
we have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
Like you said, if you go to other lands, to other places, you may find some place that you because having one experience in one place is not, you know, it isn't something to make draw a conclusion that that's where you want to be. But
yeah, I could also see myself just staying here, and my dad wants me to go to air conditioning, heating and air school. And I if he says that he would pay for it, and I would do it. It's only 9 months long, and I would do it. And that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he wanted my brother to do. And I think that it would be good. I've done some research on it, and
what's the point that he wants you to do that?
Well, he just thinks it's like a good fit,
a
like
trade.
All around.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good trade because he thinks that as long as the earth is here, we will always have heating and air,
mm-hmm.
obviously, because we need we can't just live at the temperature or whatever of some climate. So that's what he wants me to go into. And he says it's a trade that you can go anywhere in the world with, and you would be able to work. And it's very practical. You can work for a company, or you can do it yourself.
Right.
And you can make your own schedule if you do it yourself. Or you can, you know, just, and it's, you can, the hours are very good. Yeah, the hours are very good, and it's pretty paying well, and I feel like I could see myself going somewhere with that. And
well, it'd be something, too, that you could fall back on if you were to pursue other things.
Yeah, that's what my dad said as well. And, I mean, I always wanted to play Nebraska football, but I don't see myself playing Nebraska football just because of my mom.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want me to get, you know, hurt or anything. But
I think that size may be an issue too. I mean,
yeah.
Those guys, they were three times your size at your age, So, a lot of it is, yeah, you can walk on, that doesn't mean you're going to get to play. You have to have something very special or very
mm-hmm.
unique that you could kicker.
Yeah, that's what my dad wants me to be.
A punter, a kicker.
I've always wanted to be a wide receiver, but. Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell the interview before we end it? Is there anything that you just want to tell them, like?
No, just that, you know, just try to be as happy as you can.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what life is all about.
You can choose. You can choose to be happy. You can choose to be grumpy. You can choose, you know, far better off. You're living this world. You might as well live it happy and positive, and leave something positive, your footprints behind. And that's kind of what I feel I've done with my family, is I've left my footprints with them. And they'll continue on and leave their footprints. But I'll always be a part of that.
Okay. Well, I thank you for coming to my house today to have this discussion, and I hope it was worth it for you. And I hope that someday I'll be able to interview other people and get to know more about them.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see if your offspring someday, 20, 30 years from now, actually listen to that, and it'll be something.
Yeah, and then they'll know about you, they'll know about me.
Yeah.
And so, because they'll probably
won't be.
Thanks
for interviewing me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Whenever you want to do it, if you want to do it again or anything.
Okay.
So, you know, or you can do it with my sister or my mom or anything.
Okay.
But, I thought it was very productive, and I just want to thank you again for letting me.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah. So I guess this goodbye because we have to go because it's almost over. But thank you again.
Now, is this something you can listen?